This is the 454th episode of the Bowtie Chronicles podcast, the podcast from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution that gives you everything you need to know about the Atlanta Falcons. I'm D. Orlando Ledbetter, the Falcons beat reporter for the AJC. And on today's show, we're going to look at the combine and then take a look ahead here to the business year that's getting ready to start across the NFL. And we also have to touch a somber note today. Chris Mortensen, former AJC reporter who went on to be one of the ESPN's top news gatherers, passed away on Sunday. And we'll say a few words about him and then get into some football. If you're listening to us for the first time, please make sure to follow the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. This is the Bowtie Chronicles from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution.
Ocean breeze, tropical beach, piña colada. You can buy an air freshener to make your car smell like you're in an oceanside paradise. Or, better yet, you can point your car toward Daytona Beach and come experience the real thing. Visit DaytonaBeach.com to discover all there is to see, do, and enjoy along the world's most famous beach, Daytona Beach, Florida. Beach on.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
All right. We're back here at the Bowtie Chronicles podcast. And we would be remiss if we did not discuss Chris Mortensen, former AJC reporter. He was here in the 80s, long before I got here. He was the Braves writer first, then the NFL and Falcons writer. He then went on to the National Sport News and landed at ESPN. I crossed paths when he was doing high schools on the Rashard Griffith story. He was a 7-footer out of Chicago that signed with Wisconsin and passed there. And then later on, when it was in 2016, after he got sick, I was the president when we nominated him for the David McCann Award, which is now the Bill Nunn Award, into the Pro Football Hall of Fame in Canton. But understand, you know, he's left his wife, Mickey, son, Alex. And there are several tributes on the internet. Adam Schefter and Peter King did a joint one on his podcast. Bob Glauber from Newsday did a tribute for us on the Pro Football Writers of America website. Ken Segura of the AJC did a tribute talking to some of his old coworkers, including Tim Tucker and Lynn Pascarelli. So there are several things out there if you want to read more about his career. And pay some respects to one of the top NFL writers of our time here. Just want to make sure I got all this covered. Yes, he was, remember sending in his name for the Pro Football Hall of Fame in 16. And in our story, Arthur Blank did share some words on a statement from the team on the passing of Chris Mortensen. And I'll just read you a couple of those sentences. I join in the immeasurable number of hearts across the nation in journalism and the sports community as we mourn Chris Mortensen. I'm grateful to have had the privilege of knowing Chris through his incredible work, beginning at his days at the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. And like so many, being blessed by his professional excellence and personal grace through the many years that have followed. I consider Chris a personal hero of mine, and it is truly hard to imagine sports journalism without him. Falcons owner Arthur M. Blank, owner and chairman of the Atlanta Falcons. All right, so we're going to get into some of the aftermath of the combine here. We got some combine numbers of some of the local guys that we went and got notes on. We're going to talk about the mock draft that I just finished. We'll tease to that. It'll be breaking with the Cover 9 at 9 blog tomorrow. No real surprises there, but we'll get into a little bit of that here today. So let's move on to Brock Bowers, the tight end from the University of Georgia. You know, he didn't do anything at the combine. That was expected. He did show up and do his interview. He'll be ready for Georgia's Pro Day on March the 13th, which he'll, you know, test and do everything he can coming off of that ankle injury. Here is Brock Bowers and what he would bring to a team's passing game.
Yeah, I feel like I'm pretty low yards after catch, and he's going to make people miss.
Well, you saw him move around a lot at Georgia, coming out of the slot, running jet sweeps. Man, they got him the ball in so many different ways. He'd be a good weapon. I'm going to tip it off for you right now. I got him going 10th to the Jets in the mock draft 1.0. Some people had him dropping to the Bengals at 18, which would, him and Ja'Marr Chase on the same field, that'd be dynamite with Joe Burrow. So, you know, and then the Jets, that'll be dynamite with Garrett Wilson and Aaron Rodgers if he can make it back. So, good things for Brock and his future. But as we know, you know, he had the injury last year, came to Georgia from Napa Valley in California, came across the country, was an immediate hit. But when he got hurt, you know, when you get hurt like that, it's okay to get help. And Brock Bowers, he had a sports psychologist help him through the injury. Here's what he had to say about that.
Yeah, I mean, they just kind of talked to me, said I'm just helping through some things because injuries are always tough. And I just
wanted to
come
out
and play. So,
number one trade
is kind of worked out. Well, all right. That's Brock Bowers, the former Georgia tight end, 3-time All-American, 2-time John Mackey Award winner. I just know he's a little light at 240, 245. He's going to have to put on 10 pounds here. The name that a lot of people kept saying, comparing him to, was George Kittle. I think he's faster than him. I think his routes he run are a little bit closer to Kelce than Kittle. But the toughness and the speed, you know, that's pretty good company right there. So we'll wish Brock the best. We'll be there for his pro day on the 13th. And we'll report from there. We'll be there with our Georgia folks and so forth. So you know, I tipped this one off a couple weeks ago. I'm like, hey, as I'm going over the quarterbacks, you know, the name that kept coming back to me was Spencer Rattler. You know, me and Cunningham started a quarterback search way back 5 years ago or so. It was like, hey, if Matt Ryan goes to 38, who's the quarterbacks that year? If Matt Ryan goes to 39, who are the quarterbacks coming out that year? And I think we started at like 36, 37. And the 1 year was Spencer Rattler was the top quarterback coming out of high school going to Oklahoma. Now, that didn't work out too well. You know, we have his numbers in there and everything, but he went at South Carolina and, took him to a bowl game. With Shane Beamer. He went with Shane Beamer from Oklahoma to there. And I was really impressed with, the game that Georgia just really laid it on him. His first year there. Then last year he had him up. He had Georgia on the ropes. So, running quarterback, you know, he's a, dual threat quarterback, big arm, met with the Falcons. He told me, I try to get him when they come off the podium. He was like, hey, yeah, that Falcons interview went really great. He was really impressed with that. So here is here's my little chat with Spencer Rattler. Have you met with the Falcons?
Yes, sir.
Okay, and what was that meeting like? You know, they're in the quarterback market now.
Went really well. Enjoyed talking to them. It was good talks.
And then the last couple of years against Georgia, those were – Some tough games, but you stood in the pocket, got off to a good start last year. What were those games like, and what did you show against, you know, one of the top defenses in the SEC the last couple times?
The first time we played them, it wasn't pretty. We got blown out, but this past year, we were up on a 14-3 at half. Should have finished out the game and won, but felt like that was one of my best games of my career. Rain game in Athens, you know. Really showed control, and as a group, I thought we fought hard and never quit.
And then the first one, when y'all didn't, it didn't turn out your way, but you stood tall in the pocket throughout the game there. How'd you do that?
Just had to. You know, it might not have been fun at the time, but it was a great team we were playing.
Well, there he is, pleasant young man out of Phoenix. We know that... there's a certain running back that came out of Phoenix, too, named Bijan Robinson. So I didn't ask them if they knew each other. I'm pretty sure they do. That's a pretty small football community out there. Now, one of the guys at the combine that I had an eye on through our research was Utah safety Cole Bishop. And he had a good combine. He's from Stars Mill High, 6'2", 205. He's one of the bigger safeties. He likes Harrison Smith as one of his guys that he follows in the league. And Anton Winfield Jr., who just got tagged today, is going to make a lot of money with Tampa Bay. Here is, Cole was a three-star recruit committed to Duke. Coach Kirby up at Utah convinced him to come to Utah and had told him about his ability to get guys into the pros from Utah. So Cole went across the country up to Salt Lake City to play for the Utes. Here is Cole Bishop.
You know, just give me a little background on when you started playing in Georgia and so forth, and how everything went for you. And I'm still intrigued by the Georgia to Utah path.
I started playing football tackle when I was 5 years old. Been playing for a long time. Grew up in Peachtree City. Mm-hmm. It's about like an hour and a half south of Atlanta, so being able to play out there and then sometimes going into Atlanta to play a little bit was always cool. I was committed to Duke for a little bit. Mm-hmm. Coach Callie kind of reached out to me, kind of shifted my glance into the NFL being more realistic. Obviously, I'm dreaming about when to leave, but he kind of put it more into my eyes, so the trust of going out there and paid off.
Mm-hmm. And what has it been like thus far here? Interviewing wise and meeting with the teams, have you started doing that yet?
Yeah, good experience for sure.
This can be level, can be helmet.
You know, we're here to run, obviously, but being able to interview with these guys and do all this medical stuff is good to get it out. Interviews are going well. Super happy to do all that stuff, but yeah, it's been a good experience.
Yeah, 6'2", 206. I got some numbers on him. He ran a 4.4540. And he's got a 6.17 grade, which means he'll be a starter in the league by his second year. So that's Cole Bishop, Utah safety. Now, one of the biggest guys at the combine was Howard Tackle Anum Dakwa. He's from Canada and was there for his whole 15 minutes of his interview. An engaging young man, pretty sharp guy, 6'8", 362 pounds. Left tackle, block for Eden James. That's Edgerrin James' son. Helped the Bison win back-to-back MEAC titles. Came to America to Canada, to Ontario, at the age of 9 from Ghana. And then didn't play ball until his junior year in high school. So Howard was able to sneak in a big-time recruit that was flying under the radar out of Canada. And he got invited to the East-West game. He met with the Falcons there. He's met with Tampa Bay. But here is Anum Dakwa, the big tackle from Howard University.
Is Howard football back after back-to-back?
Absolutely, sir. Absolutely. You know, and when Coach Scott came to Howard, I remember the talks he had to change the program. And he told us that in order to change the program, we'd have to buy in, and it was going to be hard. He told us off rip, but, you know, prior to that, we weren't having a lot of success, you know. And I felt like prior to that, you know, a lot of guys were used to losing in the program, you know. Like, it just felt regular. But in the last 2 years, there's a shift in the program. You know, some guys start to care a little bit more. You know, you've seen guys doing extra, guys really focusing on things to help themselves out. So Coach Scott's done a great job in transforming the program. So, yeah, I expect Howard to win again this year, three-peat.
And y'all were opening in Atlanta a couple years back. Kyle Pitts talked to the team.
Yes.
What was that like? And then have you met with the Falcons?
Yeah, I've met with the Falcons. I met them in the East-West Shrine Bowl, and I met them here as well. Kyle Pitts was great because my head coach, Coach Scott, coached him when he was at Florida. So Kyle Pitts was able to come speak to us. I remember taking a picture of him. I had a conversation with him. And he told us the same thing. What he really told us about in terms of, like, taking care of your body and not giving up on yourself. He told us his journey when he got to Florida, how it wasn't the best at first. You know, at first he was struggling. And, you know, it took a while. And Coach Scott was very hard on him. So that definitely helped him. And that wasn't a lie, because Coach Scott was very hard on me as well. So I can't say that. When Kyle Pitts came and spoke to us, it definitely resonated with us. You know, we all look up to him. You know, he definitely went top 10 in the NFL. You know, everybody who plays football hopes to go top 10.
Well, all right. We're back here at the Bowtie Chronicles podcast. Full disclosure, I went to Howard, and I was the public address announcer for the football team for 3 years and the beat writer for the student newspaper. I did the football team. My buddy Sean Powell did the basketball team, and we could switch on and off if we needed to, according to our class schedule. So, yeah, and we got paid. Me and my guy Barry Hudson, he was our spotter, and the assistant AD, Miss Narelle, they paid us with Church's Chicken. That was awesome. We had free food at halftime. And in college, that's pretty big. So that was a good job. I know it was going to lead to all this. But some of the guys after me have done really good in broadcast. Y'all might know him. Stan Verrett at ESPN. Gus Johnson on TV there. He was a public address announcer starting at Howard. But okay, so maybe this kid Anum is going to be somewhat of a project. I seen him play. I saw a couple games last year, one in person here at the Celebration Bowl. Movement, can he move at a pro level at 6'8", 362? Is he mean? Is he tough enough? Can you put him at guard? But he's going to get a shot because he's big, and he's going to have to show he can move. He can move at that. If he can move at 6'8", 362, I'm thinking you're going to want to get him down at 350, maybe 340. Then he's going to have a long career if he can do that. But, I mean, I remember Ramon Harewood coming out of Morehouse, winning the third round to the Ravens, and it was just too much of a jump for him. I mean, that was almost 10 years ago, though. So, but this kid is much bigger, and the teams they can't teach you to be big, so he's going to get a shot. Now, also, one of the young players that had on our list here, we've been talking about in the last couple of weeks, was running back Kamani Vidal from Marietta High. And he had another year eligibility left, but he just broke the school records down there at Troy. Ran for 1,600 yards. And, I mentioned him to Terry Fontenot, and he was very well aware of him. So we'll see how everything goes for Kamani. It's not supposed to be a big running back draft, not a lot of. Now, there's no Bijan this year. There's not going to be one or two running backs in the first round. But for him, the key will be going to a team that can use him and knows how to use the running back. And so here is Kamani Vidal from Marietta High.
Well, hey, just tell us about your journey, ending up at Troy, breaking records this year, and getting your invite to the combine and going into the draft.
It's been great. This past year has really just gone so fast, and it's just, when you look back at it, I haven't really got a chance to really look back at what I've done at Troy and things like that, but it's just been great overall.
Coming out of Marietta High, who were all recruiting?
It was a couple of teams, like West Kentucky recruited me, South Carolina recruited me. That was a while ago. Who else? Syracuse.
How'd you end up at Troy?
I really just wanted to pick a school that was where football was one of its main, it was very important to the school. And I really felt like at Troy, like, is a football school. So that's really why I went with Troy.
And the workload last year, you know, what do you think you showed NFL teams and what the heavy workload you had last year?
You know, I think I showed that I was able to withstand it. You know, I went through 14 games without getting hurt, without missing any time. You know, I did the same last year, too. You know, 28 games straight with no missed games. And, you know, I'm really just blessed with the opportunity to be able to showcase that.
All right, that's Kamani Vidal from Marietta High, the Troy Trojan. So with that, we're at the halfway point. We're going to take a break. This is the Bowtie Chronicles from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution.
Ocean breeze, tropical beach. An air freshener can make your car smell like paradise. A drive to Daytona Beach will actually get you there. Beach on. Plan your trip today at DaytonaBeach.com.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
All right, we're back here at the Bowtie Chronicles podcast, and we're excited to announce a great deal for a Greater Atlanta. For a limited time, subscribe and you'll get digital access to the AJC for just $1.99 per week for life. As long as you keep your subscription, you have access to the substance and soul of the South, including breaking news and in-depth investigations, food, sports, business, and more from AJC.com for every day for the rest of your life. You got that correct. So subscribe now by going to AJC.com/start. That's AJC.com/start. To take advantage of the South's biggest deal, this is for new subscribers only. All right, we're back here at the Bowtie Chronicles podcast. We've got a few notes for you from one from the readers. He said, wrote this a couple of weeks ago, but failed to hit send. This is our good friend, Ronnie Collier Stevens from Harvest Church, Memphis. Great job on the article about the two new Falcon coordinators. All we need to know, really, Lake, seems like a surprising choice, but I have to believe Raheem knows what he's doing. Forever grateful it's not Belichick. Pretty sure Arthur Smith could have piled up Lombardi trophies with Tom Brady. I prefer going after Fields or Russell Wilson and draft an edge rusher at number 8. But I'm pretty sure they won't ask me. Thanks for the letter. Glad we could share that with you. And in the mock draft tomorrow, we do just that. We draft an edge rusher for the Falcons with the number 8th pick. Before we go, I got some more combine wrap-up stuff. But before we do that, we're kind of ignoring the elephant in the room, y'all. The quarterback situation for the Atlanta Falcons. And this is here. I'm telling you how it's going to go down because it's a rhythm to the season. Okay? First up is free agency. So, hey, on Monday, they can start talking to the agent representatives. And for Kirk Cousins, that's Mike McCartney. He used to be with Profile Sports, but now I think he's with Vineer. And, so he'll be the key person for that one. So if they can't, you know, Minnesota could have taken care of this. So they want him back, but they want him at their price. So, they got to sign Jefferson. They got to sign Daniel Horner. And they made it clear that, hey, you know, we want you back, but, you know, we needed to be in this range here. So if that range doesn't work, he's going to hit the market. And that's the easy button for the Falcons. I don't know if they got to outbid the Raiders and the Steelers to get them, but he would be the one that, you know, the Falcons could have enough money to sign. I saw $45 million. Talked to some of my guys around the league, and they're saying, hey, he doesn't want that much money. He just wants a guarantee. So, you know, you can get him. He comes back. What if you guarantee the money, then he blows out his Achilles, and then you got to play the because you still need to draft a rookie. And then you got Ritter and the rookie and you know, Heinicke. So I don't know. But that's first. Then second, hey, the Caleb Williams didn't do the Falcons any favors here by not doing his medicals. Hey, if I'm the Bears, I got the number one pick. I'm not giving you $40 million without you doing the medical exam. I don't know what his people are thinking. He should have did his medicals up there, got that out of the way, you know, and you know, got the thing done with the Bears. So that's second. So now you can't trade Justin Fields when you don't know if you're going to draft a kid or not because you don't have any medical information on him. So that slowed down whatever trade momentum they had. But, you know, it's my understanding that, you know, Cousins is the pro-type quarterback they want. Fields, they'd have to change a whole lot. I couldn't find anybody in Indianapolis to tell me that they wanted Fields. You know, that Zach Robinson came from Sean McVay. He had Stafford. They had, you know, dropback guys. Baker Mayfield. You know, you heard more Baker Mayfield than Justin. But, you know, that didn't mean that didn't stop all the radio guys from talking about it and having them a couple good days with it. So that's it. You know, 1, 2, 3, 4. Cousins, trade for Wilson. Trade for Fields. Russell Wilson's out there. They already told him he's not coming back. And then Baker Mayfield. So, and the only reason Baker Mayfield is in the Falcons soup is because he played half a season with the Rams. So we went online today and said we got, 1,368 votes. Who's the next Falcons quarterback? And 45% of y'all are saying Kirk Cousins, 34% Justin Fields. 2% Baker Mayfield, and then my rookie quarterback was Jaden Daniels. Of course, they'd have to trade up to get him. He's got 19% of the vote. So that's what you all are. That's where we're at here on the quarterback situation. And I looked earlier at some of the comments. I'm just going to read the ones that are made for TV or okay for us here. We got Russell Wilson vote. How'd you leave him off by Donnell Suggs? And he's got a picture of Sierra dancing there. So how could you leave Russ off? We hope we, what is this? This is a Russell and Sierra Gibbs says, oh, we hope we put your mind at ease. All right. Little Russ. Okay. Fields may be inaccurate at times. This is from Cliff. But with the athleticism and creating play calling, I think they wanted to say creative, play calling like overloading one side with Pitts, Bijan London, and Algier in the back, add another solid receiver on the other side. Jeez, just shame. Where's Russell Wilson? The correct answer is Caleb Williams. The Bears got all of y'all food. Okay. Maybe Wilson should be an option over Daniels. I don't see that happening at all. Yeah, that's why I didn't. I know. I don't, you know, the Wilson thing is, you know, I don't think. How can I be kind here? I believe he might be washed up. Even though he had 28 touchdown passes and 6 interceptions last year. Russell Wilson. My guess is whoever's still available at number 8. None of the above. All right, that's Pastor Carey. Let's look at that. Okay, at 8, none of the above. Then that would leave us with the Bo Nix, Michael Penix, and J.J. McCarthy crew. And so if this team's trying to win next year, I'm thinking they would go with Penix at that spot. But I could be wrong, and it might be Bo Nix. You forgot Wilson, none of the above. JD or Penix. Heisman Trophy winning quarterbacks don't fall past pick 3. So Daniels is out of the question. Yeah, I have him trading. I told you I have to trade up if you got to get him. So, All right, not listed. Definitely not Baker Mayfield. Oh, they got a picture of Russ going, running on the field, saying, "Let's go, baby." All right. It won't matter. HC stinks. Okay. Proud veteran with his comments there. So that was a little feedback on the quarterback search here. We did the poll, and I've been doing polls throughout. Okay, early on, y'all were 50-50 on Justin Fields' trade. Okay, last week when it started heating up that, hey, they might be trading, or at least looking at it, y'all were 65% okay with it. And then now that, you know, it became to fruition that Kirk Cousins is the guy, we're still going to find some folks that are going to find trouble with that. But anyway, that's where they're at in the quarterback search. It's going to go in stages. You know, just trust me on this. It's a rhythm to the NFL season. Free agency's first. You strike out there. Then you got to make the trade for Justin Fields. Hopefully the market doesn't go down or crash on you. You miss him. Then you got to go run and try to talk to Baker's people. And Baker's going to try to bid you. You're going to have to outbid Tampa for him. So, you know, you got to be ready to play money. Place with some real money here. It can't be like the Deshaun Watson deal where, you know, you got played and they guaranteed the whole 245 on you and you didn't get your quarterback. So, okay, if you don't get the free agency, you don't get the trade, then you're in the draft. So, and we saw how much, I had it in the story, how much Carolina paid to go up. It was 2 ones, DJ Moore, and 2 twos. A 2 and 24 and 25. So that's what it costs to go up if you got to go up and get somebody. So if you got to go up, nobody's trading, not 1 and 2. So you're looking at New England. So at that point, do you want Drake May or Jaden Daniels? So that's where we're at here on the quarterback kind of matrix. And then, you know, the wild card thing is, hey, you strike out on everywhere, then you're in the draft, you know, looking to try to find the next Dak Prescott or Russell Wilson, which you already tried, trying to get Ridder in the third round. You know, then you got to start looking at that next group of quarterbacks. So, but that's the same situation you just tried already. And so if you strike out in these other areas, as Raheem called it, plan A, plan B, plan C, and plan D, then you back to just stacking your team and waiting for next year for the quarterback to show up. And you're going to have to just go play with, you know, whatever you can, you know, cobble together, whether it's Jacoby Brissett or even if you, you know, Cleveland's talking to Joe Flacco again. So anyway, before we get out of here, let's close out with some of these combine numbers here from some of the locals. The Big Ebe, I'm messing that up, Forest Park, 6'4", 297. He, 28-inch vertical, ran a 5.18 40. Zion Loge from Georgia ran a 5.14 40, 6'6", 314. They don't like his productivity, though. He's just a big dude. But, you know, teams like to make their mistakes big. J.D. Bertrand from Notre Dame, 20 bench press. Aaron Casey from Indiana, ran a 4.75. It's kind of slow for a linebacker. 16 on the bench, though. Steel Chambers from Ohio State, he had a 35.5-inch vertical. No 40, no bench. Kalen DeLoach from Florida State ran a 4.47, the second fastest of the linebackers. Okay, we got John Trey Hunter from Georgia State had a 32-inch vertical and a 9.5 broad jump. A lot of kids are opting out of the 40s nowadays. D-back wise here, we told you about Cole Bishop. Devon Bullard ran a 4.47. And Tyke Smith, they were hanging out. They were on our plane back here. Him and Wiggins, we were all on the same plane coming back. But Tyke ran a 4.462. He had a 36-inch vertical and 10.0 broad jump. He's got a 5.84 grade. Bullard's got a 6.18, which is a starter grade. So he might can slip into the first round too. Marcellus Dow from South Carolina ran a 4.46, 40.5 inch vertical. Okay, we gave you Kamani. And then Jalen Simpson, he was one that I was inside for their workout from Auburn. He had a 4.45 40. But when they got done, all the D-backs ran to the corner and he stuck a flip for him. We had that on Twitter. And then the NFL Network put that out too. So Nate Wiggins ran the 4.28 40. He got hurt. He's showing up in the first round in our mock draft. So you'll see him up there tomorrow in that and the Cover 9 at 9 blog. Let me just flip back here and get the offensive guys that we wanted to share with you all about. Okay, Jaheim Bell, the tight end, he ran a 4.61 40, 35-inch vertical. Javon Baker, wide receiver, ran a 4.54 40. Ladd McConkey ran a 4.39 40. I can't find, he's too small. I can't find a spot for him in the first round. But, you know, he was productive at Georgia. He can get off the line. He's a slot receiver in a really deep draft. Bud Means, he helped himself out. He a big receiver out of Pitt, local kid, 4.43 40, 19 in the bench press. That was pretty good. Jamari Thrash, Louisville, ran a 4.46. And Malik Washington, who started at Northwestern, finished up at Virginia from Parkview High. He had a 4.47 with a 19 lift, which is pretty strong for the wide receiver group. And then lineman-wise, just, you know, I just want to look at their benches. But Trenton Jones from Michigan ran a 5.17. Dylan McMahon ran a 5.10. Amarius Sims at 6.43 40 ran a 5.07 40. That's moving for a big man. And Hunter Norzab, Penn State, the Walker School kid, he did the bench press 27 times. So that's pretty strong. So he can anchor in the middle there at the guard spot. So there are and our guy Bo Limmer from Arkansas. He's not a local, but he had 39. He lifted that 225 pounds 39 times. And just one final note here on Amarius Mims. He was compared to Marcus McNeil. Some of y'all remember him, former Auburn standout tackle, I think from 11 to 2017. He was two-time Pro Bowler early in his career, but his career got cut short with injuries. So there were some of the highlights from some locals. We had some of them in the story, but we wanted to do a more thorough recitation of them here on the Bowtie Chronicles podcast. Now, you know, next up, free agency. Falcons don't have a lot of free agents to worry about. You know, the key ones are Jeff Okuda, Calais Campbell, and Bud Dupree. And you might replace them with better players moving forward. But the big one is, hey, if they got to spend all their money on Kirk Cousins to get a quarterback, then they're going to have some young guys in some of those other spots. So that's what we have coming down the pike here. Tampering starts Monday. The actual signing dates could be on Wednesday. And, you know, if they're in the Kirk Cousins Derby, that's going to be one of the bigger stories around the league. So get ready for that. We certainly will be ready over here at the AJC. And, again, we're going to just have a, you know, close with the moment of silence for former AJC reporter Chris Mortensen. All right, you all take care and have a great rest of your week.
Ocean breeze, tropical beach, piña colada. You can buy an air freshener to make your car smell like you're in an oceanside paradise. Or, better yet, you can point your car toward Daytona Beach and come experience the real thing. Visit DaytonaBeach.com to discover all there is to see, do, and enjoy along the world's most famous beach, Daytona Beach, Florida. Beach on.
In Atlanta, one voice has stood out for over four decades. An AJC original, The Monica Pearson Show.
Let's talk about how you got to ESPN.
Revealing interviews.
You are known as America's doctor, but I want to know who you were before that.
When you have a different name, you have different color skin, it can be tough.
With Atlanta's most famous faces as you've never seen them before.
I'm telling my story. This is the American dream.
The Monica Pearson Show, streaming now on AJC.com.